Hi, welcome to the Mother's Guide Through Autism podcast. This podcast is to inspire, support, and build community for mothers raising children with autism. I'm Bridget Shipman, the host and creator of the Mother's Guide Through Autism. This podcast has been inspired by my son, Joseph, who has been living with autism for the past 28 years. Welcome, Dr. Jenny Weiss, to Mother's Guide Through Autism podcast. We're also excited that you could join us today.
Oh, well, I'm really excited to be here and I'm excited to talk with you.
Yeah. So can you start out by just giving us your background?
Sure. I was born and raised in Illinois and went to good schools and had a good upbringing, a different upbringing, because my mother had autism and that's why I'm here. And then right now myself, I'm a board certified traditional naturopathic doctor and I focus on thyroid disease. I do a lot of thyroid disease podcast interviews, radio, things like that. So this is a really nice change of pace to talk about something really personal. So I am really excited.
Well, I'm excited too, because this is looking at it from a different perspective, because usually, you know, I know for a fact that you are the first guest in that has lived with autism, but from the opposite end of it. So I'm really excited to, we're going to learn a lot from you. So let's start with that. Your background is so interesting and your life that has been touched by autism in a big way. So can you tell us what it was like to grow up with a mom who has autism?
Yes. So I thought that probably until I was about 11 years old that my mom was strange and weird and very different, because our house was just very different from all of my friends' houses. And she was very different from all of my friends' moms. And I couldn't put a finger on it. You know, she wasn't overly strict. You know, we had standards, but there were things that were just different. And how my mom got diagnosed with autism is my brother also has autism and he has Tourette's and ADHD. And during one of his neurology appointments, a new neurologist saw my brother and saw my mom and asked my mom if she had ever been diagnosed with autism. And she said, no, I hadn't. And she gave my mom the same test, you know, as my brother, and she was diagnosed with autism. And, you know, she talked to me and she talked to my brother and my mom. And it was very interesting. And other doctors also talked to my mom because they thought that was interesting. And, but our house was very happy. We lived in Elmhurst. It's a suburb outside of Chicago. I went to great schools. My mom there worked as a special education teacher. And she has a very interesting story herself. A lot of children with incredible special needs, their families would look to my mom for help and guidance. And she actually, one of the children that she taught was in the newspaper in Elmhurst because she was taught to read and she was labeled non-programmable, meaning she could never ever read. And my mom helped her, created a system to help teach her how to read at a third grade level. Our house was interesting. My mom didn't do things like landscaping or cleaning. My grandmother, who really was like a mom to me growing up and really raised me, she showed me how to do things like cook and clean and garden and things like that. And my mom, grades were really important to her, which was very good, and in ethics, but there wasn't a lot of things like family traditions, you know, so to speak. And I definitely felt like the adult growing up in certain respects, not in others, because I was immature too. But it was really different. And finally, when I was about in junior high, I realized that, you know, my friends' moms didn't have these experiences. I started learning what autism was, even though I kind of knew, but I didn't, you know, I just knew that I had to teach my mom things growing up, like she had to teach me things. And it was a really different experience. So, but I'm glad that I had it. And my mom's a really wonderful person. Her name's Janet, and she takes care of my grandmother and is a wife and mother and friend.
She sounds like an amazing woman and mother. And, you know, through your experience, that is your one and only awesome mom. But, you know, going over to friends' homes and stuff, what do you think the biggest difference between having a neurotypical mom and an autism mom growing up would be?
Well, the number one difference that I noticed is that my mom did not cook. And when I say she did not cook, she literally did not cook ever. She didn't make homemade lasagna or pot roast or meatloaf or, you know, turkey on Thanksgiving. We lived off of fast food, restaurant food, and frozen food heated up. Also fruits and vegetables, lots of raw fruits and vegetables. But besides that, just things that she could make. And I remember sitting at Outback Steakhouse with my mom when I was 7, and I saw the salt and pepper there. And I asked my mom what the pepper was. And she said, "Oh, that's called a seasoning. Some people put it on their food and it makes it taste different. You probably won't like it." But I wanted to try it. So I grabbed the pepper and I put it on my steak and it tasted different. And then I asked for like Christmases and my birthday for seasonings so I could cook, and I got cinnamon and oregano and garlic and things like that. And I was cooking meals for our family, simple things like grilled cheese and eggs and ham and cheese and deviled egg. Fourth grade, I was doing that for my mom, my brother, and myself. And then, you know, by the time I was in seventh grade, I was making Thanksgiving dinner every year. You know, my grandma did all those things. She did all those things. And I saw her, you know, 2 days a week, which was great. But I lived the other days with my mom. So I had the influence of my grandmother and I had help, you know, in there too. But that was the biggest difference I noticed, is that my friends' moms baked things like cookies. I never baked cookies with my mom. You know, she didn't, you know how to, or if she learned, she wasn't interested because it didn't interest her. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to, you know, do that, but it didn't take away from childhood in any way. I baked cookies with my grandma. I baked cookies myself and I got to enjoy them with my mom. So, but that was, yeah, that was a big thing, is that cooking was not done. It was heating up, you know, Marie Callender's pot pies and chimichangas and things like that. We had a lot of even prepared things from, you know, the grocery store, things like big fruit salads, mm-hmm. or, you know, large platters of vegetables, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But everything had to be just, you know, everything had to be easy to prepare for her. So that was it probably for me, was she didn't cook.
But the benefit is that you learned how to cook. Would you say?
Yeah, I did. And I learned.
That's interesting. So this experience has shaped you in a way that you see the world. How would you describe that? How do you see the world based on this experience?
Well, growing up, I had to explain a lot of things to my mom in detail. It would be hard for her to recognize certain emotions. And she was a great mom and a great comforter, but she couldn't recognize certain emotions. And she wouldn't know when it was time to stop doing certain things and would get carried away. And I would think, she's so annoying and weird, and why is she like that? And now, like, I'm like, man, I really had a great experience because of that. And I love my mom, and she did so many wonderful things for my brother and I, but it definitely affected, I guess, how I am today, in that I feel sometimes like I over-explain things, because I was always used to explaining things in great detail to my mom from a young age, so she would understand them. And she's brilliant. She was, you know, she graduated from U of I, and she was a scientist at University of Illinois conducting studies on birth control with monkeys and rabbits. And she became a special education teacher, really, you know, when we moved to Elmhurst, because she has a really good heart. So she had also an amazing life and a very scientific mind, you know, herself. And so that's kind of how I was raised. And I have this very logical thinking mind, you know, for a woman. Some women think more emotionally. I tend to think more logically, but also have very strong, extremely empathetic emotions, and emotions tied to when I was always trying to get, you know, my mom to understand things. So I think sometimes in my own life, I probably over explain things. And to neurotypical people, that is like, man, why is Dr. Jenny going on and on about this thing? And because I would really have to bring it around full circle for my mom, and you know, things like that. So I had to explain to her one time, I remember, you know, my mom, when I was 9 or 10, that I wanted flowers in the front of our house, and she didn't understand why I wanted flowers. And I took her on a walk and I said, see all the other houses on our block, they have flowers. And she understood, okay, we can do that. So we went to the landscaping place and we bought red and yellow flowers and we planted them, and our yard didn't have anything like before that. And it was just normal for her because she didn't see a need for it, even though she was raised by my grandmother in a neurotypical home, you know, with nice things and flowers. And, but I guess I tend to over-explain things that might be, something that I've carried over. But a positive that probably I've carried over is patience. Mm-hmm. I have a lot more patience than I probably would have. I'm not patient, but I just have more patience probably than I would have. So I'm really grateful for that she's given me that. And that's probably, you know, things that I've carried over into adulthood.
Yeah, that's really, I can relate, but again, I'm the mom in this situation, so I understand that. I get the over-explaining. I get the everything that you're talking about, where there are just certain things that aren't important. So, you know, that's not what we do. I think your grandmother sounds like she was a great influence as well for you. And your mom, I'm just curious. So when your mom was diagnosed, was your grandmother kind of like, oh, that makes sense? You know, because it sounds like your grandmother had a big influence.
So my grandmother is pretty old fashioned, and she's accepting of, like, if someone is that way, she just accepts them that way. You know, and she was born in the 20s, and she's still with us. She'll be 94 in June. And, she just loves my mom and knows, you know, my mom's really responsible, and she is very, you know, there's a spectrum, and we say high functioning and, you know, call it that, but she was and is, you know, she drove a car and had a degree and had a job and had a family, but that connecting with people, piece was missing. And with, you know, at my grandma's house there, we had the things like gatherings. You know, we didn't have gatherings at our house ever, really almost, you know, ever, unless I invited my friends over to come over for sleepovers and things like that. But, you know, all the parties and birthday parties, they were at my grandma's house, my grandma's basement, our big, you know, Sunday dinners. And we'd also go there on Friday for dinner. You know, we had the family style dinners, like mashed potatoes and chicken and gravy. And I would think, wow, my grandma makes this and my mom doesn't make it. And I would get, you know, confused and mad. And that was really, you know, my own self focusing on that. But really it was character development. And I'm glad, because now I'm a great cook. So thanks, Mom. You know, and we joke about it. She was joking about it with my husband the other day. She comes over to visit once a week. And, you know, we were talking and she was, you know, saying how she, you know, didn't cook ever. And my husband said, ever? And she looked at him and she has a good sense of humor. She said, ever. Yeah. Yeah.
That is amazing. I love this story, and I can see that you have just a huge amount of respect for your mom and mm-hmm. a great love for your mother. And I think it's offering hope, right? Because as a mom of an autistic child, son, he's 28 now, yeah. A man.
Yeah, wow.
My mind, yeah. But it's I guess the message is that whether they're on the spectrum or not, they are who they are, mm-hmm. and they shine their own light. They have their own personal journey, and we as caregivers just can see how special and beautiful that they are. And I think this whole podcast is about educating people about what it's like to live with autism and to offer hope and inspiration. So I know that there are a lot of moms who listen to this that are at the beginning of the autism journey, and they're so fearful of what their child's life is going to turn out to be, right? And so your story of growing up and your mom getting diagnosed on the spectrum, high functioning, but that she's an awesome mom and a teacher, and she's and a scientist. I mean, that's so inspirational and hopeful. And you're so happy. That's so awesome. Your mom raised a very wonderful person. So kudos to your mama.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm grateful for her. And thanks for your kind words. It was a unique experience. At the time felt hard, but now I'm so glad that, things happen that way. My brother was more functioning. He is brilliant. He is so intelligent. He could build anything or design anything. He's an engineer. He has a degree from DeVry, and he's just hyper intelligent. Not very aware of kind of what's going on around him more. So it's hard for him to focus long term, and then things like that. So I felt. I'm the only normal one in my family. And growing up, I was like pretty wild. And I just wanted to get out of there. And, high school, sneaking out of the house and, taking road trips with friends. And just, I wanted to kind of leave. And I felt like I was deprived. But then in my 20s, I realized that without that experience, I wouldn't see the world through the lens that I do. And I wouldn't have, not just cooking skills, but coping mechanisms that I do. And my mom and I are best friends. We talk all the time, she visits me all the time, and we have a really good relationship. And I'm her main friend, that she has. She doesn't, she has other friends. She has other friends, but she doesn't really see them and hasn't seen them in years, and they want to see her, but it can be overwhelming. For her, she gets overwhelmed, and then the feelings of overwhelm her. And that used to happen to my brother. He would get so overwhelmed, he would just throw himself on the floor and scream. And I would think, how embarrassing, you're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. What is he doing? And now I understand they're trying to communicate. Yeah. And talk and let you know, hey, something isn't right. And maybe I can't get those words, but I want to let you know somehow that it's going on. So, what's going on inside. So it did change my perspective on things. And I was not a saint at all. My mom and I have been close since I was in my 20s, and I'm in my 30s now. So I'm really, really glad that, there was understanding there, and we talked about a lot of things. And there was a few months ago, actually, someone in her circle did something not very nice, did a certain bad thing. And I looked at her and I said, "Are you mad about that?" And she said, "No, I don't get mad. I just decide not to be." And I thought, wow, you can, you know, not get mad about this very bad thing. And she said, "Yeah, I just decided not to be." And we just kept talking. And that inspired me. I thought, you know, I can just decide not to be mad about something. I can just decide not to be upset. And that really comes down to mindset. You know, we talk a lot about mindset, and, you know, there's different ways to help change your mindset. If you have a mindset of growth, you can really overcome any situation, even perceived bad situations in the moment that really aren't that bad. You know, don't sweat the small stuff, and everything's small stuff.
Yeah. I think, wow, what a gift, because my son Joseph, you know, he will get upset about things, but he generally is one of the happiest people. I mean, I understand that, because it's the things that, when I was his age, or when I was younger, I would get upset and waste so much energy on things that I absolutely had no control over. And what a great lesson from your mother. I'm taking that in. I'm going to try that. The next time I get mad, I'm going to decide not to get mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that for myself, because I think, and that's why I say all the time, Joseph's been my best life teacher.
Wow.
Yeah, because he's just kind of mellow. Things are the way that they are, you know. What a great way to look at life.
It really was and is, and I'm glad I realized that, because it was a different experience. And I know we can get bogged down into thinking, oh my goodness, this is tough, or it's going to be tougher tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow is going to be even tougher, and when does this end? And if we do really focus on our mindset and self-care too is important. And I know, yeah, you're nodding your head. A lot of autism moms and daughters, you know, have to practice self-care, because if we're caring for ourselves, then we're better able to care for other people and put in that effort. So self-care is important with autism or anything that can seem overwhelming when you're in it.
Yeah. And that is, I love that you brought that up, because that is one of the things that I try to teach the most, because I know, you know, being an autism mom, and you being a daughter in this situation and a sister, and you making the comment, "I wasn't an angel." Well, none of us are. I don't care where you are. If you're living with autism, there's a lot of guilt that follows us around. And that's part of the other thing I do is to just say, you know what? I've done my best, know better, do better, and release the guilt, because guilt is one of those things as a autism mom, or anybody, sister, daughter, if you're living with autism in general, it can get frustrating. It's very hard to understand, and they're also frustrated. So it's important to have the tools and the self-care and the self-compassion, and to let go of the things that are in our past, right? Because we are who we are.
Yeah.
And there's beautiful growth. And the thing I always say is, this is a journey. So, you know, we all get burnout. We all get upset. And it is hard to say that living with autism isn't hard would not be truthful. So it is. And you have come out on the other side, and I love the message that you carry with you. So, and your mom, we must talk to your mother. I can't wait to meet her.
I'll talk to her about it. I'll talk to her about it. She is fascinating to talk to. You can learn. I am learning so much from her all the time. And she does give great advice on what she does know. Mm. So her name's Janet. Yeah.
We must talk to you, Janet. Yeah. So you had a pretty challenging experience with your own health, and that helped you decide to become a board certified traditional naturopath doctor. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. When I was in college, I stopped having my period for 7 months. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I knew something was going on, and I started feeling extremely tired all the time. Like, it wouldn't matter if I slept 20 hours, I could sleep 20 more. Something was off. I never had low energy like that. I was an athlete. I played tennis. I ran. I ate what I thought was healthy, healthier than I ate growing up. And it all of a sudden came to this head. And I was diagnosed with very serious illness, and I had a choice to make. I could continue living my life the way I was, which was unhealthy, or I could change. And I had the desire, because that's right, the first step of wellness success is having a desire to change. And I put in some effort and I changed how I ate. And I started cutting out foods that were inflammatory, things like gluten and dairy and sugar. And I started seeing incredible changes in my health. My skin cleared up just like glass. My eyes got really white. My fingernails started growing super fast, and my hair, and it's like I started glowing. And all the health issues that I had a lot of digestive issues, a lot of pain, a lot of back pain, they all went away. And the issue that I was facing, which was very serious, also went away. And at the time, I was in nursing school, and I planned to be a nurse. That's what I always planned. I had a job at a nursing home, and this, you know, was a stable career path. You can work anywhere and you're helping people. And that's what I wanted to do. I thought, this is great because I can help people. Pharmaceutical drugs, I had been helped by changing my diet, juicing and having smoothies and, you know, lean meats like grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish and salmon, you know, legumes and nuts and seeds, really whole foods. You know, that's what they are, whole foods. And so by eating that way and reversing my own health challenges, I decided that I wanted to help other people, you know, help them with their issues. And I had a guy during this time who was an acupuncturist, and I thought I really wanted to become an acupuncturist, and I hate needles. So I decided to not do that. And I was researching other careers in natural health, and I found a naturopath, which I had never heard of before. And I saw that, you know, you could become a naturopathic physician, which is that's very similar to a medical doctor, or you can become a traditional naturopath. And there's different, you know, options in there. And I decided to become a traditional naturopath and did the credits required for that, the undergraduate credits. And then got admitted to the program, which was 4 years full time. And I went to New Eden School of Natural Health. And I graduated. I did my 1,200-hour clinical internship in Indiana and Illinois, and then got board certified with the AAMA, which is the American Alternative Medical Association. And then when I was in school, the topic of my dissertation was reversing Hashimoto's thyroiditis naturally with nutrition. And so many women just in the U.S. are diagnosed with Hashimoto's or have symptoms but are undiagnosed. And I was seeing so many women in clinical practice that had Hashimoto's. And I thought, you know, by helping address these symptoms now, you can help a lot of women, you know, help to prevent things from kind of snowballing and really catapulting into these bigger health challenges down the line if we could just change the diet. So that's what I worked in and did my dissertation research on that. And graduated in 2019 and got board certified a few months later and started practicing right away seeing thyroid patients. So almost been 2 years, and it's a great job. I love helping people. It is my favorite thing to do. and I get to do it with my husband too. So that's really great. And we live in Indiana, and most of the patients that I have are not in Indiana. They're across the nation, and we see them on Zoom. So it's nice during these challenging times to have that available, even in other countries. So most of the patient business we conduct is on Zoom, although we do see patients here local to Northwest Indiana also, thyroid patients. Mm-hmm. But it really was in my own desire to change my fate and that really pushed me down this path and towards traditional naturopathy. And becoming a board certified traditional naturopath is wanting to help others and educate others that there is another way. There is another way around disease. You don't have to live in sickness and disease and, be overweight and have these hormonal imbalances and be tired and have acne on your skin and, get high blood pressure and cancer. And you could just, address the root cause of what's going on. So that's what I get to do. And it's a lot of fun.
You have such an interesting story, and you are still very young and you've accomplished so much and you have so much wisdom to give us. And you, I love that you said the root cause. That is actually the name of your practice, Root Cause Detective, with the focus on thyroid issues. And you've told us a lot about it, but how different is it from conventional medical approach? What is the difference?
Well, that's a really good question. And I think a really good thing to do would be to look at how a medical doctor is educated versus how a traditional naturopath is educated. So a medical doctor goes to medical school where they're required to take certain courses in biology and chemistry and psychology and anatomy and physiology and pathology, all the ologies. And then they spend years studying pharmacopoeia, so pharmaceutical drugs, and they study drug-drug interactions and the contraindications for that drug and the dosing for that drug and the generics and studies that are done and clinical trials, and they really focus on drugs. And I have several friends that I went to high school with that are medical doctors now, and they know a lot about prescription drugs, and they're good doctors. We need medical doctors, absolutely, because if I get into a car crash, I want to, be stitched up and have that blood transfusion and, be given things so that I don't die. I don't know how to do that. I wasn't educated to do that. And that's what they're there for. They're great for trauma and, intervening where there's a health crisis that is an emergency right now. So they're educated 4 years full time, mostly on prescription drugs and things around drugs and prescribing drugs and what drugs for what conditions. What traditional naturopathy, how it differs is, in my undergraduate work was in holistic health, reflexology. I had a concentration in pain management. In my doctorate program, we still had to take, I still took biology and chemistry and microbiology and anatomy and physiology and pathology and all those same courses that they do in medical school. But then after that, we focus on nutrition. And there's thousands of hours in nutrition education and herbal medicine and reflexology and orthomolecular nutrition, which is vitamins and minerals. So it's really holistic. We talk about mindset and spiritual practices, and there's a lot, to be studied, and no one could ever know everything. There's so many different things to study when you're talking about health. And what I love to focus on is looking at that patient as a unique individual. I don't prescribe or treat or diagnose. We follow their symptoms down to their root cause. What is really going on? What's going on behind what's going on behind what's going on behind what's going on? Sometimes there's 6 or 7 layers of, I have a headache. Well, is the root cause you have a headache? Okay, why do you have a headache? Oh, because you're dehydrated. Well, is the root cause you're dehydrated? No, you drink enough water. Are you taking any medications? You know, what kind of diet are you eating? Why are you allowing yourself to get dehydrated? Did you forget? Did you, you know, not have enough time? And then, you know, what is your schedule like? Oh, you're not getting enough sleep. Why aren't you getting enough sleep? Oh, I have a stressful job. Then we talk about managing stress and really digging through these layers of why. Figure out what the root is so we can pull it out so it won't keep growing back, you know, so to speak. And that's what we do. We don't treat or prescribe or cure. That is only for the medical profession and a physician to do. As a traditional naturopath, we address the root cause with a holistic approach, you know, nutrition, sometimes herbs, not all the time, orthomolecular nutrition, vitamins and minerals. We talk about water and sleep and sunshine and important things like that. And the research is also backed by science. You know, I choose my own opinions based on what I've read in studies. And in any study, you got to follow the money. You know, who conducted it? Was it conducted in people, not animals? You know, how big was the sample size? And who was funding the study? You know, amongst other questions like that. So that's a great way to, you know, get educated. So if someone had a cold and went into a medical doctor's practice, they would might get prescribed an antibiotic, you know, or an antiviral, or a cough suppressant. And if they came to me, I would look at their nutrition journals and what are they eating to where their immune system is low, and we'd adjust nutrition and then look at herbal medicine as a healthier option to, you know, medical treatment. And we look at different things and look at the different areas in their life and put together a program for them that helps support their future health. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of the difference between a medical doctor, a physician, and a board certified naturopath.
I think that's a great explanation. And I love how you said, yeah, you know, we need both. And I can relate to autoimmune because I have a lot of autoimmune issues. I also have thyroid, hypothyroid, and I'm a type 1 diabetic. And, you know, I didn't develop any of this until much later on in life, till I was almost 40. But I also know how important it is. And you brought it up earlier, and we've really connected on the self-care part of this journey, right? So as we're moving forward, and a lot of autism moms listen to this podcast, we need to really work on self-care, self-compassion. Yeah. And I love how you bring all of that together in your practice and what you're helping people do in the wellness, health and wellness. And so as you're moving forward in this, you and your husband are creating a virtual, and you can correct me where I'm wrong if I'm mistaken here, but I love this. You're creating a virtual educational site for health and wellness with top experts in the field of natural healing. So I would love to know more about that. What is the vision for the site? Tell us about Eat, Move, Think. Just tell us all about
it. Oh, sure. Well, I'm really glad you asked. I didn't know if you were going to ask about Holistic Health Circle, but I've always loved talking about it. It's originally my dream when I went to school to become a doctor, is I wanted to start a wellness center that would help low-income families be able to afford healthcare that they wouldn't be able to otherwise. And that, you know, at reasonable prices, you want to make a living, but you also want other people to be able to be healthy. That's why, you know, you went to school for so long. So that's what I wanted to do. And all this crazy stuff with COVID hit, and, you know, during the pandemic, we're just, that's not probably the best idea right now. And last year in January, I started a Facebook group called Holistic Health Circle. I was a wellness director for a corporation here in Northwest Indiana, and I started it so my colleagues and the mastermind members and just my friends too could be a part of it and listen to videos and read articles I was writing, and ask questions and get some free help with their health. And it was my way of giving back, and it just exploded, which was great. And, you know, we got thousands of new members. It's been less than a year, and we have almost 4,000 members, which we're really excited about. And it's just, we've had incredible people join it. And I was just thinking, you know, there's all these great practitioners now in Holistic Health Circle. And I was thinking, maybe we can still have a wellness center. It can just be something different. You know, everybody's holidays and gatherings and things look a little different. And different doesn't mean better or worse. It just means different. So I contacted some of these practitioners, and we have Dr. Kay Larson is on our board. She's the head of the American Council of Holistic Medicine.
Wow, and that's awesome.
Yeah, we're really excited to have her. She, you know, you never know unless you ask. And that's something that my mom taught me. You'll never know unless you ask. And I'm really glad, because she always used to ask these. I thought they were weird questions. And I would say, why did you ask that? That's so weird. Why'd you ask that weight or that, you know, if you could have 5 times extra spinach or that. And she said, well, you never know unless you ask. And I called the American Council of Holistic Medicine, and I said, hi, I'm starting a wellness organization, and can I ask you guys some questions about how you started yours? And the woman I spoke to on the phone was very courteous, and I thought she was a receptionist, and she answered a lot of questions in a lot of detail. And I mentioned, thank you so much. I really appreciate your help. I used Dr. Kay Larson's textbook in my doctorate program, you know, one of the books she wrote. And she said, well, I want to let you know, I actually am Dr. Kay Larson. And I, yeah, I was like, oh, okay. And then I said, well, hey, do you want to be part of Holistic Health Circle? I'd love to have you on board, you know, and have some balls. Oop, can I say that?
Well, no, don't worry about it. We'll edit it.
So I said, hey, you want to be in Holistic Health Circle? You want to serve on our board? And she said, absolutely. It sounds like a great thing. So we have 3 divisions in Holistic Health Circle: Eat, Move, and Think. Eat is everything nutrition related. There's going to be groups in there, you know, for vegans, for paleo, for keto. There's going to be different articles on different things and research presented, and we talk about herbal medicine. It's anything that goes internally, you know, orthomolecular nutrition. Nutrition's all encompassing. And then Move is everything exercise and movement, you know, and Pilates and yoga and burst training and fitness and videos. And then Think is the mental side that we talked about earlier, you know, that is the mindset piece and spirituality and sexual health and emotional health and physical health as it pertains to how we're thinking about a situation. So the 3 different branches, I'll be heading up the Eat branch, and for the Think branch, Dr. Kay Larson is going to head up that. And the Move branch, we're still looking for someone. We have all the positions filled, but we do need someone for the Move branch. But there's amazing chiropractors and exercise physiologists. One of our folks in the Move branch is Chris Mays, and he owns an incredible gym in Orlando. He trains Olympic athletes, and he's going to be doing videos online. He works in epigenetics, a personal trainer. And then he also works in physical therapy and has degrees in physical therapy and exercise physiology. And he is just top of the line. And he's in our Move branch. Salin, who is an amazing exercise physiologist, she's designing all of our assessments. And Michael Bouvier, who is one of the top Qigong instructors really in the United States, has a very successful online holistic health food store and is one of the top sourcers of health food in North America and has great relationships with a lot of farms in South America. So all the supplements that we're going to design through Holistic Health Circle will go through his site. And just, we have incredible people. Dr. Melissa Olson, who's a naturopath practicing in Minnesota, has a huge brand new wellness center, teaches yoga on TV a couple times a week. She's also going to be in our Think and Move branches. And we have Dr. Michelle Trias, who speaks at health and wellness summits. She's actually a very good friend of mine and colleague. She graduated from school where I did, and she's a doctor right now, and she is getting her 1200-hour clinical internship. So I'm supervising her intern hours. So she's an intern and a friend and a colleague, and she's also going to be in the EAT branch with me, specializing in digestive health and wellness. And the practitioners that we have are top of the line. I can't say enough about Michaela Morell. She's a she works in anti-inflammatory studies and really studies omegas, and she is a Swedish nutritionist moving to the United States. So we're excited to have her here and working, and she'll be in our upcoming photo shoot. We have Joe Lee, who he has dual master's degrees in aromatherapy and nutrition, and he runs another online Facebook group with 5,000 people. We met at an herb walk I was teaching in Arkansas. He came to the herb walk and just became friends. And now he's part of Holistic Health Circle, and all this stuff has just kind of happened organically, and it's been great. And it's a lot of work, and it's definitely a labor of love. We'll probably be launching officially in 2022. Right now we're writing a lot of articles and creating videos and content and courses, and even courses for practitioners so that they qualify for continuing education with the American Council of Holistic Medicine that we're partnering with, and then the online superfoods store, Michael Bouvier store. And it is just, it's been really an incredible journey. And the best part about it is I get to work with my husband. So
yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
So 2022, we can start looking for it. And I'm just curious, will there be in the EAT, Move, and Think, will there be topics on autism?
Yes, well, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Autism, diabetes, thyroid, losing weight, and any health related topic that you can think about. 100 uses for coconut oil. We want to be the leading health and wellness organization to where if someone thinks, I would really like to change, I have a desire to change, they can come to Holistic Health Circle and be taught and be educated within their own framework, because it's not just one nutrition system. It's really what works for you. Because right, every body is unique, just like every individual with autism is unique. There's no cookie cutter stamp, one size fits all. We're all unique individuals. Our hair color, our eye color, our genetics, and the way we think. So that's what, you know, we want Holistic Health Circle to be, and really let the personalities and modalities of the other practitioners shine through. So we're really, really excited.
I'm excited because, you know, this is another passion of mine. But I, so for our listeners, we'll be looking for that in 2022, because we talk a lot about all the different aspects of living with autism, which health and wellness is a huge part of it. So we'll all look forward to that. But exciting stuff. I'd love to know your advice for autism moms and for people who have loved ones with autism. Mm-hmm. What is your best advice?
My best advice is, so I guess there's two best advice. One is love them, definitely. That is really simple and straightforward. But I think really good advice to give, because everybody needs love. And even if someone is expressing something in a different way, they still, and we all need love. Everybody needs love. So love them would be probably the best advice. And then the second best advice would be to really look at the diet of what your child or mom or sibling is eating. And oftentimes, removing specific foods that tend to trigger flare-ups really help when dealing with autism. And those foods are gluten, sugar, dairy, corn, and soy. And then chemicals like artificial dyes, especially red dye, high fructose corn syrup, things like that. And a lot of, one of my favorite patients, give a shout out to Jack Costello. Wendy Costello is his mom. Her and I are good friends. We met when I worked at a wellness center. I started doing reflexology for her and her son, and we got to be such good friends that we went on vacation together to North Carolina. And her son, Jack, is so is really made a part of the home, the community, the neighborhood. She has done an amazing job. So shout out to Wendy Costello. I just wanted to say hi, and you're doing a great job, Mama. And by looking at diet, that can really help improve cognition, ability to reason, and even undesirable behaviors. Things like that. My brother had a lot of tics, and when he ate eggs and dairy, the tics got worse. You know, he had a tic the side of his mouth, he would go, and it would just get worse when he would eat eggs or dairy. And there's certain foods trigger, you know, certain things, especially if Tourette's is involved too, which often it is. Autism and people on the spectrum may also have Tourette's like my brother did. So certain inflammatory foods, I would suggest maybe keep a food journal and write down what your son or daughter or loved one is eating and see, you know, how they reacted that day and how was their day for them, and journal if there was positive things, negative things, and start keeping a record and try removing gluten, dairy, sugar, soy, corn, inflammatory foods. We can send a list to your listeners so they know what these foods are, and then keep a journal and see if that helps with some things. It just might. So those are the two pieces of advice, love and nutrition.
Those are two really important ones. I agree completely with you. So all our listeners are probably wondering, how can I get in touch with you? So where can people find you?
You're welcome to go to our website, and that is www.drjennyweiss.com, drjenniweiss.com. And then our Facebook group is Holistic Health Circle, a Naturopathic Doctor's Perspective. It's kind of a mouthful. Holistic Health Circle, a Naturopathic Doctor's Perspective. You're welcome to join there, ask your health questions there, get help from not just myself, but other amazing practitioners who are really an expert in their area, because no one knows it all, and I definitely do not know it all. And we have just the quality of practitioners that are part of our group is incredible, and they really have a heart for others and really want to help. So definitely, even if it's not about thyroid, in my own area of expertise, you're welcome to ask about children, mindset, autism. There's lots of help there for you.
Wonderful. Is there anything else you would like to mention before we go?
Sure. Yeah. Since you asked, one tip for boosting your immunity is to drink water. Drink half your weight in pounds in ounces every day. So if someone weighs, for example, 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of water a day. If they weigh, 150 pounds, drink at least 75 ounces of water a day. And that's just water. That's not a juice or a smoothie or a soup. That's actual water going into your body, because that's what we need. So we are made up of water, and we need water to move nutrition into our cells and move the toxins out of our cells. And if we're dehydrated, those toxins are sitting in your cells and we're not getting nutrition. So
cheers. We just held up cheers. Our water. You guys can't see us, but that is what we're doing.
That's great.
We both have our water.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And I think so many people, especially when you're busy and you're a mom and you're, mm-hmm. you don't even realize that you're dehydrated, and it causes a lot of fatigue. So that is great advice.
How you can remember it? Can remember it. Think, am I drinking enough water? What are you doing?
Cheers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jenny, for sharing your knowledge and your expertise to help us all living with autism. It has been a great honor, and we look forward to seeing what this wonderful creation, your Holistic Health Circle, what all that you bring forth in the next upcoming year.
Thank you for having me on, and thank you for having this amazing show geared towards helping moms dealing with something that maybe they feel alone. And when they're part of your group and other supportive groups like this, realize you're not alone and there's resources out there. So thank you, Bridget. for having this amazing podcast.
Oh, my honor.